Please be seated. Today is the Sunday after Ascension Day. After Jesus is raised from the dead, he openly appears to his disciples for 40 days. And on that 40th day after Easter Day, he ascends bodily into heaven, taking his place at the throne of God, taking his human flesh, those hands, feet, and side with his wounds, to the throne of God. Now, the ascension of Jesus assumes a cosmology that is not ours. It assumes a structure of the physical world where we're here on earth and above is the sky, and above the sky is heaven where God dwells. Trouble is, we are 21st century people. We've seen those pictures from outer space, the image of the beautiful blue globe that is Earth, surrounded by other planets and stars and galaxies. I can't tell you where Jesus went exactly, but I'm not sure I need to, because I wonder if we can move past any worries we have about an ancient view of the physical world. We might actually find that the Ascension is a feast that has much to say to us. The late Edward Hayes was a priest and a storyteller, and he once told a story I want to share with you. It may perhaps be helpful to you. It's an Ascension parable. He says it was told long ago by the Desert Father Abba Seya, who was an early Christian mystic. This parable takes place on Ascension Day. And we have to be honest, the disciples are sad because they know Jesus is leaving them. As Jesus begins to rise into the air, John couldn't bear it. So he reaches up into the cloud and grabs a hold of Jesus' right leg. And he won't let go. When Mary sees John do this, she too jumps up and she grabs hold of Jesus' other leg. Jesus looks up into heaven and says, "Okay, Father, now what?" A voice comes out of the clouds, deep and loud, like rumbling thunder, and says, "Ascend." So Jesus continues to rise through the air, dangling John and Mary behind him. But of course, the other disciples can't be left out, so they jump on board. And within moments, there's a pyramid of people hanging in midair. Then, before anyone really knew what to do next, all kinds of people start appearing. Friends and neighbors from around Galilee, people who had heard Jesus talk, his preaching, his stories, people he had healed. And they too refused to be left behind. So they grab onto a pair of ankles and they hung on for dear life. And above all this scuffling and the scrambling, there's the voice calling, "Ascend." Then suddenly, from the bottom of the pyramid comes a small piping voice, the voice of a child. "Wait," he shrilled. "I've lost my dog. Wait for me." But Jesus can't wait. But the little boy wasn't going to be left behind. He was determined. He and his dog were coming. So, holding on to with one hand, he grabs hold of a tree with his other, and he holds on with all his might. And for a moment, the whole pyramid stops in the air. But Jesus can't stop. The ascension has begun, and God is calling Jesus up into heaven. It looked as if the tree would uproot itself, but it held on. And it starts to pull the ground up with it. And the soil starts moving up into the sky. And hundreds of miles away where that soil meets the oceans held on. And where the oceans met the shores held on. All of it held on. And Jesus ascends into heaven and goes back to living permanently in the presence of God, in that place of endless love and wholeness. But as Abba Saya tells it, he did not go alone. He pulled all of creation with him, everything that ever was, everything that is, everything that ever will be. He pulled all of it up into heaven with him. This parable, true or not, tells how the ascension completes what God intends for creation, how it completes what begins in the incarnation. You remember how every year at Christmas we talk about the incarnation, how God puts on human flesh, how the creator of the universe, the maker of everything that exists, stoops, humbles God's self to put on human flesh. The eternal, ineffable God accepts the limits of living as a creature within the creation. And God does this in the person of Jesus. And God does this seeking unity with humanity by becoming one with us. In the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, God lifts humanity to the divine life, takes human flesh to dwell with God. When Jesus ascends into heaven, he goes where he promises he will one day bring us. In his ascension, human flesh is lifted to the divine life, to the very throne of God. The 4th century bishop and theologian Athanasius of Alexandria said it this way, and I quote, "For the Son of God became man so that we might become God," unquote. Think about that. God becomes human so we can become God. Athanasius goes on to say, and I quote, "Just as the Lord putting on the body became a man, so also we humans are both deified through his flesh and henceforth inherit everlasting life," unquote. We are deified in his flesh. God so deeply desires to be one with us that God comes right where we are, comes among us, dwells with humanity in the person of Jesus, and literally shows us how God intends we live as humans, how we are to love as God loves, how we are to serve one another in humility, how we are to work for justice, to welcome the forgotten and the excluded. In Jesus, God not only loves us, but shows us how to be fully human, how to live the lives God intends for us, how to love as God loves. And in the ascension, Jesus completes the incarnation, bringing humanity where he has gone, taking human flesh to the throne of God in heaven. Jesus shares the divine life with us so that we can be lifted to the divine life of God, dwelling in the community of love that is the Trinity, being incorporated into the very heart of God. We see this in today's gospel, where Jesus is praying at the Last Supper. He is praying, as you know, the night before he is betrayed and arrested and handed over to death. And that last night with his friends, Jesus is teaching them that he and the Father are one, that Jesus desires that his followers be one with him, just as he and the Father are one. Jesus prays that all may be one in him, as he is one with the Father. Jesus desires to share with his followers everything that he shares with the Father, including his resurrected and glorified life. In our gospel today, Jesus prays, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The divine and glorified life that Jesus knows in the resurrection and the ascension, Jesus wants to share with us. Jesus wants to share that life with all humanity. And so we are called to live in this world already, now, here on earth, full of that glory of the kingdom of God. We're called to live this life full of Christ's glory, living a life filled with the love of God, with the light of Christ. We are called to share the life-changing presence of God dwelling in us with all we encounter, to live on this earth as citizens of the kingdom of God, residents even now of that heavenly city where Jesus has gone before us and promises one day to bring us with him. Though we remain here on earth, we are called to have our hearts, our minds, our wills fixed in heaven where Jesus has gone. And we are charged in this life, on this earth, to build heaven right here, right now. Living in the glory and the love of the ascended and resurrected Jesus means being changed, becoming like Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, his abiding presence, so that we are the presence of Jesus in the world, that we are his body on earth, radiating love and healing to all people. The ascension teaches us that all creation is good, that humanity is good, created in the image and likeness of God, created by God in love, that Jesus desires to share his divine life with us, to share with us the glory of eternity. And then following him, we are called to make real the love and the glory of Jesus in this world, that through our lives, all people may give glory and thanks to God. And if we live rooted in the glory of the ascended Christ, how can we not love others as Jesus loves us? If we accept the gift of the divine life of God, how can we not see all people as beloved of God, as all people bound for the glory of God's kingdom? If we live by the divine life of God, we must believe the whole of creation is loved by God. And we must care for all creatures to be loving stewards of all the creation that God has entrusted to our care. And so in this ascension tide, may we put on the resurrected and ascended Jesus, embracing his identity, living in the love and the glory that Jesus shares with us, allowing him to lift us to the divine life of God, that we are a people who bring love and healing and hope to this broken world. May the light of the ascended Jesus shine in and through us and transform the face of the earth. And may we dwell even now with the risen Christ, rooted in heaven while living this earthly life. Amen.